Right. Amen. Good morning, everybody. How are we doing this morning? Doing well? What a powerful, powerful opening session. Pastor Tom, thank you so much. Thank you so much. You know, one of the things I felt like God laid on my heart, and I'm just going to submit it for consideration, is this, is that, you know, Pastor Tom spoke about how the Holy Spirit is the comforter, the paraclete, but also how the American church in general has craved comfort, and we are, in a lot of ways, we are so bound by comfort that is it possible, this is just for your consideration to pray about, think about, is it possible that the reason we don't see the expression of the power of God brought by the Holy Spirit of God, who is the comforter, is because we spend so much time trying to find or maintain comfort in other things rather than entering into the battle where there is no comfort apart from Him being with us? Is that possible? Just something to consider, you know, as we all rush out probably at the end of this day and eat a steak or whatever we do. So, but praise God. You know, I'm excited to share this morning about something that really, I think, doesn't get a lot of play. And even if it does, it's something that gets either overlooked or underappreciated in the church. And it's the idea of the motivational gifts. And so, you know, how many of you, when Pastor Tom was sharing and he's, we're going to go out and we're going to take it to them and all of these other things. How many of you, if you're honest, you don't have to raise your hands, we're like, that's for those other guys. Well, you know what? There is a chance that first and foremost, that is more so your natural wiring than it is the spiritual gifting and gift mix that God has given you. There's also a possibility that because of the gifting and gift mix that God has given you, you have an understanding that maybe your place isn't on the quote-unquote front lines per se, but you also don't understand, well, then how does my gift mix, how does how God empowered me do that and be engaged and take the fight to the enemy? You know, there's a stat that I recently looked up, and I thought it was significant that for every 10 soldiers in a combat zone, only one of them actually sees combat. 90% of the troops in a combat zone are support troops. And so I share that with you today, not to give you a check mark or an okay that you don't have to go out and share your faith and you don't have to go out and do evangelism and do outreach. But the way God orders His church is that there are gift mixes that may not be considered what we would call those frontline gifts, but they are gifts that are wholly necessary. And actually, here's the thing. If it takes 9 people to keep one guy in the battle, I would wager a guess that those 9 people are more important than that one guy, because that one guy doesn't exist without the other 9. And so today I'm excited to share about the motivational gifts, because the motivational gifts are the gifts that keep the ball moving forward. That's what motivational gifts do. You know, I'm a football guy. Praise God, the Steelers are still playing at this time of the year. I know there's a certain individual that's very happy that even though their team isn't playing, it's because their team ended the season as the national champs. Come on, Mr. Kevin Broom over there, Georgia Bulldog. But I love football. And one of the things that is fascinating to me about football is that football is the consummate team sport, right? Football is the consummate team sport, because in basketball, you could literally get one guy that's good and get to the title and maybe even win it. Baseball, similarly. But football requires all 11 people on the field. That's another thing. Football has more players on a team on the field at once than any other sport. Baseball is the next closest with 9. But in football, especially on offense, there are 5 offensive linemen. You have to have 5 offensive linemen who are not, they do not touch the ball. Their job is to block. Then you have 5 what they call skill position players: running back, fullback, tight end, wide receiver. and then one quarterback. Those are your 11 players. And in football, if the offensive linemen don't do their job, if they're not on point with their blocking and knowing their assignments, it does not matter how good your skill position players are. Najee Harris would have ran for 2,000 yards this year if we had a competent O-line. I believe that. But offensive linemen are just as necessary as any of the other players on the field. But they don't show up in the stats. One of the things that I like about offensive linemen is that they are just as skilled as the quote-unquote skill position players. Because the amount of technique that goes into foot placement and footwork and hand placement and having another 300-pound man run at you and you keep him from getting to your quarterback. And every skill position player would know, and you can look in the NFL and you'll see quarterbacks who get very expensive gifts for their offensive linemen. Because they understand that without those players, they don't get to shine. They don't get the big contracts. They don't get the advertising deals. But the other thing I like about offensive linemen, and if I had the stature growing up, I was always a small kid. Offensive linemen get to engage the opponent on every play. And they get to get dirty. And they get to smash somebody in the mouth. And I don't know about you. You might be, this is a whole lot of violent talk. Well, I don't know if you've seen the world around us, but it is violently trying to destroy families and lives and souls and minds and emotions. And if we don't do something about it, there's not a plan B. And so whatever our giftings are, we have to understand that it's not about who gets the ball, because here's the other thing. There's only one ball. Even if there's five skill position players and one quarterback, only one of them can have the ball at the time. But if all of them pull together to get the ball across the goal line, they have a better chance of winning, and that's why we have to understand where we fit in the body. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit today. So what are the motivational gifts? Well, the motivational gifts are charisma or charismata, right? Many times when we hear that word charisma, we think of someone that's, you know, kind of charming and outgoing and fun to be around. They've got a lot of charisma. And unfortunately, that's how we often think of these motivational gifts. We think of them as personality traits rather than supernaturally endowed spiritual abilities. And so our English word for charisma comes from the Greek word charisma, which literally means a grace gift, a charis grace gift. And so we see numerous lists of charismata in the scriptures. We see in 1 Corinthians 12:28, apostle, prophet, teacher, miracles, kinds of healings, helps, administrations, and tongues. And as Pastor Gary said at the close of the last session, these are usually the ones that get the kind of top billing, or they're the only ones that we see as or view as spiritual gifts, right? These supernatural kind of prominent platform kind of things. We see another list earlier in 1 Corinthians 12 in verses 8 through 10, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, miracles, prophecy, and discerning of spirits, not to be confused with discernment. That's a huge thing. Discernment is not a spiritual gift. Discerning of spirits is a spiritual gift. Tongues and interpretation of tongues, which, since you're here, I encourage you, I believe these are being recorded, listen to Pastor Eric's teaching on how the gifts operate so that you can understand why interpretation of tongues is an important part of the gift of tongues itself. We see another list, which some of us are rebuking back to hell, but marriage and celibacy or singleness, these are charisma. There's a spiritual gift for marriage, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, and for singleness. Not saying that if you're single, you have that gift, or that if you're married, you have that gift, but these are lists in the scripture, 1 Corinthians 7:7. Then we see Ephesians 4:11, which are called the fivefold ministry gifts, and these actually fall under a title more of offices, right? Where these are people who have these gifts in such a way that they are themselves, as Paul says in Ephesians 4, gifts to the church for the maturing of the saints. And so we see apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor and teacher. Now, some people might say it's four. They say pastor, teacher is one gift, but I come from the camp of the fivefold ministry gift. And then the last list, which is where we find the motivational gifts, is Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8, where we see, and we're going to look at each one of these briefly, prophecy, serving, teaching, encouraging, contributing, leadership, and mercy. Now, 1 Peter 4:11 is up there because he doesn't list gifts per se, but the two kind of arenas that gifts fall in. You either have a serving gift or a speaking gift. And here's a newsflash. You're not limited to one spiritual gift. There are certain gifts that manifest in your life more prominently. So like for me, I believe that one of the things that I see often in my life manifesting is teaching. Now, I have been used prophetically, but I would not consider myself a prophet per se. I have been used in healing, but I would not necessarily say that I function or flow in the gift of healing. And so any one of these gifts can manifest in any one of us at any given time, but that does not mean that it's kind of your primary or secondary gift area there. And there is nothing like, and this is why I love our Next Steps process, there is nothing like finding your gift mix and using it to serve Jesus. Man, there is not a paycheck on planet Earth that can match it. There is not an attaboy or an attagirl or a way to go or a bonus that can match it. There is just something about being where God divinely designed you to be that is just so satisfying. It's just so amazing. And I know there are people in this room, and you've probably met people that if they didn't have to have money to buy food and pay their mortgage and different things like that, they would give their whole lives to doing this thing that God has anointed them to do within the body of Christ. And so if you haven't found your gift mix yet, or you're not functioning in your gift mix yet, I want to encourage you to find out what it is and get in there. Because here's one of the things. In this teaching today, some of you are going to find out that there are supernatural spiritual gifts that you have, but you haven't jumped into it, either because you didn't know you had that gift, or because, you know what, in your mind, you kind of thought, well, that's kind of a personality thing, or that's a lower grade gift. All of these are charisma. All of these are indicative of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And you know what else is great about these? All of these are gifts that Jesus functioned or flowed in. The only one that we don't see Jesus flowing in the scripture, is tongues. But every one of these gifts, Jesus functioned in. And he distributes these gifts to us because here's the other thing. Not any one of us have all the gifts. And he apportions them to each of us because his intention from the beginning was for us to function not as individuals but as a body. And so whatever your gift is, whether it's a road grading right guard or an elite 4-2 wide receiver, it has nothing to do with who you are and what your gift mix is. It's all about us lifting the trophy at the end of the age. And so we need everybody functioning in these gifts. And just by way of, you know, teaching again, none of these gifts, I believe, none of these lists, I should say, have all of the gifts in them. Some overlap, but I don't believe that any of them are exhaustive. I believe that there are different manifestations of certain gifts that may not be listed. You know, tongues in one person may appear or manifest differently than tongues in another. But I also believe that there are gifts that are not in any of the lists. Right? I believe that there is a supernatural gift of intercessory prayer. I believe that. I believe that there is a supernatural gift of functioning more effectively in demonic spiritual warfare, right? Casting out devils. I believe that. I believe that there are gifts. I mean, how many of you are thankful for our very anointed worship teams, right? There's not a worship team gift, but praise God, we have those charismatic people in our body because it would be kind of a lame, you know, worship experience, right? Amen. So let's take a look at some of these motivational gifts And I want to start off by reading Romans 12, 3 through 5 to kind of give us what I like to call a precursor for the operation of any of the gifts, okay? So Romans 12, 3 through 5 says, "For by the grace given to me," I'm reading from the English Standard Version, "for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself or herself more highly than they ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body, we have many members," right? We got fingers, toes, you know, we got all these things going on, these organs. "And in the same way, the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another." And so there's three precursors to operating in any of the gifts that's vitally important. And the first one is humility. You need to think of yourself with sober judgment and not to think of yourself too highly. Some of us, whether consciously or unconsciously, think being on the vacuuming team, which would fall under the gift of serving, I believe, that's below us. There are days when I have begged God to just let me be on the chair setup team again. Because that's how I'm wired. It's not easy to be up here. The second thing we need to have is an awareness that not one part is the whole picture. Just because one or two or five people may be up on the platform, that is not the whole picture. We are many members in one body. And the third thing is this: we have to acknowledge that these abilities are from God, as God apportions them to us. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Hebrews 2, 4, there's a number of places where it talks about how the gifts are given as God sees fit. And so you can't be like that person who's underneath the Christmas tree sifting through the gifts and find one with your name on it, but because it's not the size or the weight or something that it looks like you want, that's your gift. And Romans 11 tells us that the giftings and callings of God are irrevocable. And I believe that there are a lot of people living below standard, miserable Christian lives because they've never stepped into the gift that God has put them in them. And they're not functioning in that. There's no greater way to live a Jesus-filled life. Because Ephesians 4:16 tells us this: as each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow. If you're not functioning in your gift because you don't know it's there, you don't know how to, or because you're just being obstinate and not wanting to do it, whatever it is, we have to get you to that place because it's keeping other people from growing. So that the whole body is healthy. We need health in the body of Christ. We are supposed to be the image of health in the earth. Our marriages should be the best. Our child rearing should be the best. Our love for one another should be the best. But we all need to come together in our gift mix so that it's healthy and growing and full of love. We also have to remember this: it's in accordance with the measure of faith you have. And that's why we're teaching on this today. Faith comes by hearing, Romans 10. And hearing through the word of God. That's why we're coming straight out of the word of God. Some of you for the first time may hear that unction you feel inside of you isn't just a personality trait. Or maybe you might hear for the first time, I just have this and I don't know where to kind of use this. You're going to hear about that today, and it's going to increase your faith, and you're going to step into it. Because all of these gifts need to be leveraged in accordance with the measure of faith that you have. So if you don't have faith to be a server or generous, then you'll never do it. So my hope today is that you'll hear this and be like, that's me. That's me. That's my charisma. And I'm going to step into it so that the body can grow and so that the body can be healthy. So let's take a look at these. Romans 12, verse 6, it says, "Having gifts that differ according to the grace given us, let us use them." Now, I want to pause here because the delineation is clear. God's grace has given each of us a gift. None of you in here today, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, if you have made him the leader of your future and the forgiver of your past, and you are born again, even if you have not experienced the baptism in the Holy Spirit, I believe that there are gifts in each and every one of you. So if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you have a gift. Multiple gifts, but definitely one that the body is aching for and needing to grow and be healthy. But he says, let us use them. Can you imagine sitting on a gift and not opening it up? Could you imagine that car or diamond ring that Pastor Tom is going to buy you and not opening it up? You know, my grandmother, her neighbors, all the older ladies on her street, they would get each other these flowers called amaryllises or amaryllisi. I don't know what the plural of amaryllis is. But they would get these for each other each Christmas. And invariably, because my grandma liked to drink a little bit, and she was older, they would forget to take one or this or that. And so it would sit usually on the dining room table, because in the houses I grew up in, the dining room table was a shelf, not an eating place. Okay? And so it would sit there until about February, and you literally start seeing leaves and shoots coming out through the wrapping paper because the amaryllis is growing. Look, there are gifts that are growing inside of you, and you need to open them up and use them. Because it won't only benefit you, but it will benefit the body and the world that the body is intended to reach. Paul goes on and he says this. He says, if it's prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. So over the next 10 minutes, I just want to take a few minutes and explain what these gifts are, because they're not really that deep. It's just about, are we going to embrace them and accept them and walk in them? Now, the first two, there's two of them that appear on other lists and actually appear in the list of offices in Ephesians 4, verse 11, prophecy and teaching. Now, I'm not going to unpack what those are. There's going to be other teaching on that later, I'm sure. But these two are often viewed as platform gifts. So these are ones that are like, oh, I want to function in prophecy, or I want to function in teaching. But the thing that I do want to say about them to this room right now is this. There are more people called to these gifts than are walking in them right now. See, because their platform gifts are personality mix, maybe you're an I, maybe you're a CD on the disc, maybe you're whatever number it is on the Enneagram that doesn't want to be up in front of people, but that has nothing to do with the charisma that God has put in you. Can I be honest with you? The last place I want to be is up here. Ever. It just took me over a decade to figure out that the giftings and callings of God are without repentance, they're irrevocable, and I can choose to walk and he's called me to do, or I could keep hiding and living a miserable life knowing I'm not living up to what God has called me to do. And I would wager a guess that most prophets and most teachers don't want to be up in front. Actually, biblically speaking, when you look at the calls of the Old Testament prophets that are recorded, Isaiah is like, woe is me. Jeremiah is like, I'm too young. Ezekiel was so hard-headed, God had to force feed him a scroll to get him to do his job. And so while these may be more prominent gifts, there are a lot of you in here right now that have this gift inside of you, but because of fear or shyness, you don't want to or haven't yet walked in them. I just want to encourage you. You're a child of God, and he will enable you to do these things. Because 1 Corinthians 12:28 says that in the church, first is apostles, then prophets, and then teachers. If you have this gift, this is an important thing. So I want to encourage you to walk in it. The next gift I want to look at is serving. And this is the Greek word diakonia. It's where we get our English word deacon. And I want to encourage you to be here Well, be here tomorrow, be here the following Sunday, but definitely be here January 30th. Because we're going to be preaching about this, how the Holy Spirit operates through this, out of the book of Acts, chapter 6, and we're going to be honoring our team leaders. Because at Bridge City Church, the team leaders function as the diaconate. They are the servers. And the word literally means to serve in whatever sphere or role the Lord has placed you. So this is one of the cool things about the spiritual gifts. This gift may act may increase or emphasize another gift that you have, right? Serving is easy for me. Let me be in the back. Let me get together with some of the guys and we'll run sweepers. We'll set up chairs. We'll mop the floors. We'll scrub the toilets. But it's that serving charisma in me that says you would be not serving if you didn't step into your teaching gift. And so the serving gift comes alongside and enhances even other gifts. Because whatever your role is, you've got to do it. And so I would say most of us function in a serving gift. Because even if your gift is somewhere else, my gift is childcare. Praise God for that. Whatever that spiritual gift is, I don't know what the Greek is, but I say thank you, Jesus. People working with the students. Man, put me in a room full of stone-cold killers and drug addicts. Don't make me go talk to the teenagers. Praise God. But it's that serving unction that makes us say, I'm going to do this. And I'll be honest. This is something that just popped in my head. The serving gift is the on-ramp to all the other gifts. Because if you're not ready to walk in whatever God called you to walk in, then you're not willing to serve. If you're not willing to walk in what God has called you to walk in, then you're not willing to serve. The serving gift is an on-ramp to all of the other gifts. Go ahead if you want to and stand off and wait for someone to give you a pulpit. It ain't ever going to happen. And if it does, I pray God for the safety and care of those people because you will come down with a calamitous fall. That's a fact. I feel like part of the reason why I get to do these things is because God saw my heart to serve. And I want to encourage you, God sees your heart to serve. No one else may see you. No one else may pat you on the back. That's going to be tough here because I see how encouraging. But man, just wait and see what God has for you. Serving is not so much a catch-all for just service in general, but descriptive of a supernatural unction and desire to get involved wherever, whenever, however. I'm blessed to be in a body full of servers. Next, we have exhortation. And it's funny because this is literally the same Greek word that we get Holy Spirit paraclete from. It's parakaleo. It's a call alongside. Now, contrary to popular belief, exhortation is not the gift of yelling at people or the gift of telling them what to do. Hallelujah. That could be part of it, not because you're a domineering leader, but because you care enough about the person to help them move up to the next level in their lives. And so the gift of exhortation is the ability to speak into people's lives in a way that produces a positive effect. You know, Pastor Nick, most of the people, you function in this, and I believe in you. That was so good. That may come along with some next steps of how to make it better, which all of us have to learn to receive. But praise God for the gift of exhortation. Because it literally means to call someone to your side and say, come on, let's go and do this thing together. I believe in you. You know, one of the things that we, our trainings here is we do what we teach if you're a connection group leader, recruiting apprentices or recruiting people for your group. And it's called an ICNU conversation. And it starts by this. I see in you the ability to lead men into a deeper understanding of the Bible. I see in you the ability to help women to battle all of the oppressive things that the world tries to throw at them, to redefine them instead of walking in their definition as daughter of God. That's the gift of exhortation. And some of you, you're hearing it right now, and you're like, wow, I have the spiritual gift of exhortation. You're here. I have the spiritual gift of serving. That's why we're doing this. Because sometimes the most spiritual thing that we can do for someone else is to pick up the phone and give them a call and see how they're doing. This gift and the mercy gift work a lot better at the hospital bedside of someone that's terminally ill than the gift of apostleship, prophecy, or teaching. These are important gifts for the body. Next, we have the gift of giving or contributing. And it literally means to take from what you have and to share or impart it to another for the sake of mutual experience in the gift. And it's not just finances. Because Paul actually uses this word earlier in the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 1, verse 11, where he says that he has a desire to impart or give some spiritual gift to the Roman believers so that they might be stabilized or established in their faith. Now, I believe that it does. There's just people that supernaturally have a faith to give, and that's their gift. But it also ties in. Do you see how these gifts marry together? Imagine functioning in the giving gift and the exhortation gift, and you're literally imparting words that take people to the next level. What a powerful thing. The gift of giving goes beyond normal Christian generosity to the supernatural effect of lifting people up where they are. The giver wants to make deposits in people's lives that develop them and make them better. Next up is leadership, and this means to stand before. It's what the word literally means. I have a picture that kind of illustrates this. Can you see that? See, in the Western American culture, we think of leadership as the boss. I sit up here while everyone else pulls me along. But the leader is placed before. And let me tell you something. It is not easy for God to place us as leaders in front of other people. Most of us want to shrink back. But God, by his great gift, places us before others, not to show ranking or status, but to help lead the charge in pulling people along. Because there's great scrutiny and responsibility that comes with this gift. And it's not one, every time I see someone that's super excited about leading, I get nervous. Because I don't think you've counted the cost yet. Well, I'll have more free time when I'm the leader. Actually, you'll actually have less free time. Because it's going to depend on you. Everyone else can call off, but you can't. So this gift is vital and it's important, but it's not one to just be sought after lightly. You know, we have a job as leaders to bring people together so that we can bring them along to help them become the best that they can be. That's what leaders do. They don't sit up on a throne and bark orders. Last but not least, and I can do it in a minute, showing mercy. Showing mercy. It is the ability to extend supernatural sympathy. Have you ever just had someone to come and put their arm around you? Pastor Tom, I know you've experienced, just in hearing what you shared today, and all of us have. But this is the gift of showing mercy. It's the gift of being able to sit at a bedside and not give a prophetic word that this sickness shall not end in death. It's the ability to take someone else's hands and say, I'm with you and it's going to be okay. That's what the Holy Spirit does. But we can't see him. But we can see other people. So wherever it is, whatever that gift is, eagerly seek these gifts. I'm going to stand to your feet, and for the next just 10 seconds, Let's lift our hands to heaven and just ask, as Pastor Gary said, and ask for fresh wind. God, I pray for fresh wind of serving, Lord God, a fresh wind of exhortation, a fresh wind, oh God, of contributing and giving, a fresh wind of leadership. I pray for those prophets and teachers who have been hiding in the back because they don't want to be put up front, Lord God, but you're bringing them up front. And even now, Lord God, you're hearkening and sparking something inside of them, oh God, that they're not going to bring and step up, but you're going to place them before others and use them mightily. God, I thank you for each and every person in this room and for the gift that they are and for the gifts, plural, that you have put in them. And I pray that you would help us to know them. In Jesus' name, amen.